The NBA and Twitter extend their deal, and Peter Kostas rips the PGA. Welcome to the latest Sports Media Beat. I'm Dan Lovallo. A lot to talk about on this latest Sports Media Beat, and we are putting this podcast together on Thursday, January the 9th. Let's begin with the NBA and how they have extended a deal with Twitter and Turner Sports. This is a multi-year extension to their partnership. The deal is Twitter will increase the amount of live games and on-demand content. NBA and Twitter have had a relationship dating back to 2009. This particular relationship, also involving Turner Sports, has been around for a year. But here's the deal. Twitter will increase the amount of live games and on-demand content, a live streaming option for the second half of at least 20 regular season games is part of the arrangement, the All-Star Game, and 16 playoff games, including the Western Conference Finals, also part of the deal. Now, this is something you need to realize. Beyond the United States, the NBA is huge. It's big in the U.S. It is enormous outside this country. In fact, the NBA has built one of the largest Twitter communities in the world since joining Twitter in 2009, with more than 437 million followers in the world across its league, team, and player platform. So this is pretty big. The NBA with a huge worldwide following, and now they have extended their relationship with Twitter and Turner Sports. Social media, let's continue with that for just a moment. How about YouTube? Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment, WWE's YouTube entities, have generated more than $13 million in 2019. That's right, I said more than $13 million with 53 million subscribers. Per month, 510 videos are uploaded by WWE, and it receives an average of 756.4 million monthly views. And the following that the WWE has on YouTube is phenomenal. And, well, you saw how it generated, we just told you, more than $13 million in 2019. Here's another YouTube analysis involving Sky Sports, owned by Comcast. Of course, Sky Sports, based in England. Sky Sports could earn $12 million a year in U.S. dollars because of the following it has on YouTube. The big giant is Liverpool Soccer, expanding its YouTube offerings, and that'll bring in $7 million a year in revenue just for Liverpool. It's huge. It's huge. You know what else is huge? College football in the United States, the SEC. And the Southeast Conference is closing in on a deal with ESPN, according to several reports, and I will link to all of this in the show notes. So just go to sportsmediabeat.com. But the SEC is closing in on a deal with ESPN, according to Sports Business Journal, at a little bit more than $300 million per year. Currently, the SEC has an arrangement that has dated back to the 1990s with CBS. And at the moment, it brings in to the SEC $55 million per year. Well, with the negotiations starting up, and the current deal doesn't expire until 2023, but with negotiations starting up, word began to leak that the SEC wanted a heck of a lot more than $55 million a year from CBS. And when the figures surpassed $300 million, CBS said, "That's it, we're out. We're making a commitment again to the PGA. We're out. We also acquired the rights to UEFA Champions League European Club Soccer Premium Tournament, or Premier Tournament. And so we're out. We're not going to give you, when you're talking $300 million a year for the SEC, no matter how much of a premier college football conference it is, we're not going to give you that amount of money." So they dropped out, and the SEC looked elsewhere, and ESPN said, "We apparently are in." And so that's where it stands. It looks as if the SEC, according to Sports Business Journal, is closing in on a deal with ESPN. Super Bowl. Well, the presidential campaign's getting involved. According to various reports, the Trump campaign and the Bloomberg campaign each will run a 60-second ad during the big game, costing each campaign $10 million. Mere chump change, right? Or is that mere Trump change? Anyway, they will advertise both Trump and the Bloomberg campaigns during the Super Bowl. Here's an interesting note about the Super Bowl. And all of the inventory in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54, will be carried by Fox. All of the inventory sold out. Netflix will not air an ad in this year's Super Bowl. They ran ads in 2017, 2018, and 2019, but Netflix will not run an ad in Super Bowl 54. Some other news. There'll be more ads during the Super Bowl appealing to females. Olay will air a Super Bowl spot, and it's going to star an all-female cast. SodaStream also will air a 30-second spot. That is significant because I guess a few years ago, SodaStream tried to run an ad and it was rejected by the Super Bowl. And now SodaStream has been taken over by Pepsi. They will run an ad in this year's Super Bowl. Podcasts. Let's get back to podcasts for just a moment. Spotify, which is big. And let me add, currently, this could change, but currently, we have, as our podcast host on Sports Media Beat, Anchor. Anchor is owned by Spotify, so I need to point that out. But there are reports on Bloomberg News that Spotify is prepared to develop several daily sports podcasts, including one podcast specifically devoted to the latest sports news. So Spotify, getting into the content creation part of podcasting, in addition to serving as a podcast directory, and Sports Media Beat is on the Spotify podcast directory, as well as Apple's iTunes, it's not iTunes anymore, it's Apple's podcast directory is how it is referred to, also Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, we're on all of them. Let's give you some more bowl ratings. I'm not going to compare them to previous seasons. We'll quickly run through this. The Armed Forces Bowl on ESPN last Saturday, featuring Tulane and Southern Miss, got a 1.2 rating, attracted 1.74 million viewers. I want you to think about this for just a moment when we ask ourselves, why all these bowl games? What's up with all these bowl games? Well, what's up with all these bowl games is, even though you run a bowl game that might appear to have a low rating, 1.2, you've got 1.74 million people watching this. You're an advertiser. If the rate is right and you can reach 1.74 million people, doesn't matter if it's the Armed Forces Bowl or any bowl played on a Saturday after New Year's Day. That's still a lot of eyeballs watching your advertising. That's why they do it. So that was what the Armed Forces Bowl on ESPN produced. Then there was the Idaho Potato Bowl, featuring Nevada and Ohio. That got a 0.9 rating, but 1.36 million people watched it. Then it was the Mobile Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, Louisiana and Miami of Ohio, a 1.45 million viewership that was carried on Monday night on ESPN. College basketball ratings. How big is the NFL? The playoff game on Fox Sunday served as a lead-in to the men's college basketball game between St. John's and Xavier. And that got a 1.4 rating, attracting 2.3 million viewers. That's Fox's largest college basketball audience on record. Repeat, Fox's largest college basketball audience on record, with the NFL wildcard playoff game serving as a lead-in. Also on CBS, and CBS didn't have a football game on Sunday, but they did have college basketball, men's college hoops, Michigan, Michigan State, and that got a 0.7 rating, 1.06 million viewers. Saturday on ESPN, Duke and Miami, that got a 0.51 rating, 841,000 people watched that college basketball game. The NBA on ESPN Friday night featured the Pelicans and the Lakers. That was the late game that got a 1.1 rating and 1.66 million viewers. That was preceded by the Sixers and the Rockets. That got a one rating, 1.58 million viewers. Now to the golf, and we'll touch upon the remarks made by Peter Kostas in just a moment. But PGA Tournament of Champions on the Golf Channel got a 0.39 rating, 634,000 viewers. Again, that's a lot. You might say, what is it with all these specialized cable channels? But if you're an advertiser, and you are, particularly in this day and age, targeting your advertising to a particular clientele, if you can get 634,000 viewers watching your ad, or even half of that, if some aren't paying attention during the ad spot, you have gotten a lot of people to witness your product. That's why you have all these cable channels that are specialized. So the Golf Channel, very happy. That was the tournament's largest cable audience since the 2016 final round. NBC carried the third round of the Tournament of Champions, and it got a 0.7 rating, 975,000 viewers. And of course, NBC is owned by Comcast, and Comcast owns NBC and the Golf Channel. Got it? Peter Kostas, longtime golf commentator for CBS. He, along with Gary McCord, given the boot late last year, well, he is speaking out, not so much on his dismissal by CBS, although he wasn't happy, obviously, with his dismissal, but he is speaking out, and he is speaking out about the PGA. In a story on the website awfulannouncing.com, written by Jay Rigdon, he quotes a couple of tweets sent out by Kostas earlier this week. Or Kostas, Peter Kostas. I don't want to get you confused now between Peter Kostas and Bob Kostas, who spelled their surnames differently, obviously. But in a couple of tweets sent out by Peter Kostas, the first one, memo to PGA Tour, your website is awful. That was a tweet sent out by Kostas. Your website is awful, PGA. And then the other tweet, and this has to do, and I'm going to quote from Jay Rigdon now, his story, the great story in awfulannouncing.com, about what the PGA is doing with these tournaments, naming these tournaments after advertisers. I know the advertisers are ponying up a lot of dough so that the tournament is sponsored by a particular entity. I get it. But the PGA is changing the record books here. Here is what Rigdon wrote. Yesterday, though Kostas took aim at another worthy target, the PGA's tour's habit of retroactively rebranding tournaments when taking on a new sponsor. It can lead to some anachronistic situations, as Kostas pointed out in his salty fashion. So here's what the PGA is doing. They're naming these tournaments, but then they're making them retroactive. So Kostas sends out this tweet. What kind of visionary was Ben Hogan? How good and ahead of his time was Ben Hogan? According to the PGA Tour, he won his fifth Charles Schwab Challenge in 1959, 12 years before the Charles Schwab Company was started in 1971. Now that's visionary. He is absolutely right. Come on, PGA, wake up. You can't be referring to a tournament off of its sponsor's name dating back to the 1950s when that company didn't start until 1971. You just can't be doing that. And that's just what the PGA is doing, trying to erase the names of these tournaments dating back to the 50s or even beforehand, making you think that, my goodness, the Charles Schwab tournament was around back in 1959 when Ben Hogan won it. No, it wasn't. So Kostas is absolutely right on this. I will link to that story and all of these stories in the show notes, sportsmediabeat.com. That's going to do it for the podcast. If you would like to email me, my email address is dan@danlavallo.com. And as always, thanks for listening to the Sports Media Beat.